So we're learning this week about the union of a sirtut. A sirtut, just to remind ourselves, is in a klaf of a Sefer Torah or mezuzah. No, I don't actually. I think they were taken. Sorry. Should I go? I'll make go copies. So the union of sirtut is, again, when you in the klaf where you have these lines scratched in. So there's a discussion in the Gemara about which types of inyane stam require the sirtut. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah Yud Ches Amud Beis paskins that when it comes to tefillin, the halacha is when it comes to tefillin, ein etzrichan sirtut, the very last two lines, you don't need sirtut when it comes to tefillin. With respect to mezuzah, tzrichan sirtut. With respect to mezuzah, you do require sirtut. And Megillah also, the Gemara says that Megillah also requires sirtut. But our focus is going to be, in general, what the nature of the sirtut is. So the focus being that tefillin doesn't require sirtut, and mezuzah does require sirtut. So if you look at the Ran says in the first source you have, sorry, you don't have one. Oh, you have there? Is that it?
No, it's the last week's.
Oh, sorry.
I was out of
town this week. Okay, there are extra ones, but they still get thrown out sometimes. So, should we make it? Let me make a copy quickly.
No,
yeah?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Ran writes here in the sugya, the nature of sirtut is as follows. He says the sirtut eina ella linoi shetei aksiva na'a. The whole purpose of sirtut is like lines. We have line papers. So back then they probably didn't have line papers. The lines were what they etched into the klaf. Now they had these lines. Now, even though they're not made of ink, but you could still, if anyone's seen inside a sefer Torah. A mezuzah, you see there these lines etched into the klaf. So that was how they had lines. It was simply for noi, to make sure the ksav is very, very nice and pretty. So the Ran says, so that's why mezuzah needs it. But tefillin einan bechlal she'ena nirin. Tefillin, however, don't require sirta because you don't see them. So this is interesting on a couple levels. Firstly, do we see mezuzah? Mezuzah we don't see either. It's rolled up. It's more accessible than tefillin. You could just pop it out and open it up if you wanted. Tefillin, you have to really crack it open and know what you're doing. But you don't see mezuzah. So I don't know why mezuzah is considered more hidden than that of tefillin. That's point number one. Point number two is really interesting, is that he says something that's not seen is not subject to the mitzvah of zeh keli v'anveyu. What the Ran is saying, the whole point of the sirtut is to have hiddur mitzvah, to have it a very pretty writing. That's straight. That's part of hiddur mitzvah. But if you're not going to see it, so there is no inyan of hiddur mitzvah. So I don't know about you, yeah.
Yeah, when I sat with the sofa last month for my son's bar mitzvah, that's the entire thing we spent looking at different parshiyos and comparing how beautiful the ksav was.
Exactly.
So that's why we paid more.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
That was my thought also.
You made a bar mitzvah recently also. I was going to say that. They're all kosher. I hope they're not selling you any puzzle. The whole difference of price is how pretty it looks. The ksav is clearer, it's bigger, it's smaller, it's straighter.
Okay.
So according to the Ran, this Indian doesn't apply at all. So we'll see later on the others argue on this Ran. But this Ran makes a lot of sense because there's two types of hiddur mitzvahs. One hiddur mitzvah is when you fulfill the mitzvah in a better way. Not how it looks, in a better way. So let's say, a sukkah could be two walls and a little bit, right? Two walls and a tefach, that's the minimum size of a wall. But hiddur mitzvah, to have it fully surrounded. It's not necessarily a prettier sukkah. It's just a better mitzvah. The mitzvah is a higher level. It's a more chomer, dikka type of mitzvah. Or let's say, anytime you take a chumrah upon yourself, so then that's, even though it's not necessarily prettier, so an esrog, let's say. An esrog, that's not a good idea, actually. That's not a good suggestion. Esrog is very much about the appearance. But again, there are many chumrahs that if you take upon yourself these additional chumrahs, or let's say Neres Chanukah. Neres Chanukah, so if I light one candle every night, that's the mitzvah. If I light one, and then two, then three, and then four, that's not necessarily prettier. Maybe there's more light, but that's not a prettier mitzvah. But that's hiddur mitzvah because it's a better key mitzvah. You've fulfilled a certain stringency. But then there's a whole other category of hiddur mitzvah, which is making it look prettier. Buying a nice pair of tefillin, a nice ksav, a nice sefer Torah, a nice lulav, a nice esrog, where it's not that the mitzvah is a better mitzvah, it's just a prettier mitzvah. So that's the second category. So the Ran is assuming that it's all about how it looks. If no one's going to ever see the tefillin, so then who cares how pretty it looks? So the Ran completely rejects the idea of having to have nicer tefillin. It might be a nice thing, but it sounds like it's unnecessary from the Ran. But again, for our purposes, since the whole idea of a sirtut is to make sure the lines are straight, since no one sees tefillin, that's why there's no sirtut in tefillin. But then comes along the Rajba. The Rajba says, I agree that in general you don't need a sirtut on every single line of tefillin. Aval tefillin number two, shita rishona, the top line needs it. Uminat stadim, the margins require. Delo gare mishtaim kosvin shalosh ein kosvin. So Rajba says there's a Gemara in Gittin, which I hope you guys saw, that there are these there's correspondence back and forth between two different Amoraim. And they'd have these nice ways of speaking with psukim. You know, I used to have a charus of mine who was one of these geniuses who knew Tanakh by heart. And, you know, one of those chidon Tanakh winners. He'd always like say these psukim to me, like in part of a phrase. I had no idea what he was talking about. Like, he was like, so they'd use psukim like to highlight certain ideas as just not to darshan any Torah, but a certain idea of, you know, people oftentimes say it's chataya askir abaskir yom, that when Yosef said I'm reminding myself of the sin, that's a phrase a pasuk people would use. So he'd oftentimes quote psukim in Yeshayahu. I have no idea what he was talking about. So when they had this correspondence, they'd have like a nice little letter, like a pasuk on top, and to open up the letter and the remarks. So the halacha is that you're supposed to do a sirtut under those psukim. And whenever you write three words or more of a pasuk, it requires a sirtut. So that has to do with when it comes to writing letters. Now, the reason behind that is, I don't want to get too involved in that, but the very simple reason is the Meiri writes in Gittin, why do I have to write a sirtut when it comes to writing a letter? If I'm just writing a nice pasuk on the top, just a nice bracha from a pasuk. So the Meiri says it's a siyag, it's a safeguard. Just to get a person accustomed to making lines when he writes words of the Torah, so that when he writes mezuzah, he'll do the same thing. That's the whole idea. So the Rajba says, so tefillin shouldn't be any worse than writing a letter. If when writing a letter I need to put an underline, when there are three words or more, so then certainly tefillin, I should also have to make an underline when writing tefillin. That's what he paskins.
I always thought the reason was this is holy writing. Yeah, no matter how much you write of it, it has to be written properly.
Yeah, but the question is, why was sirtut instituted? If the sirtut's instituted to make it look straight and pretty, well, then no one looks at tefillin anyways, so there's no need for sirtut or tefillin. So how can the Rabbeinu Tam says that you should at least do the first line in the box and the margins on the side? So the Rashba says it must be because it should be no different than when you write letters, that you should just get accustomed to making underlines when you write
sirtut. Right, I understand all of that, and I'm taking it up to the third level that I was always under the impression that it's holy writing and don't mess with it.
So
get it right.
So it could be what you're saying is what the Tashbait says. Tashbait says against what a person would have thought. We all thought the simple understanding of a sirtut was in order to make the ksav very nice and pretty and straight. The Tashbait's right in number 3, Mikol makom, af al pi shetam hasirtut nira, even though the simple understanding of why you need sirtut is kedei sheyehei aksav miyushar, to make the writing straight, still afil hachi, arminin b'per kama degitin, hay milsa lav milsa detali besvara, the Gemara there says it's not a logical reason, el gemarhi, it's a misora. So he's saying it's a misora halacha mosh misinai. The halacha mosh misinai was mezuzah does require sirtut and tefillin doesn't require sirtut. There is no explanation. So now it's either because of a gzeres hakat right now a misora, or it's because to make it look pretty. Those are the two options. And in either option, we see why tefillin doesn't need it. Either tefillin doesn't need to look pretty because it's not ever seen, or because tefillin did not have that mesora of requiring a sirtut. So that's the big machlokas. And we're going to now see a number of nafkimina about whether or not it's a din in the hider mitzvah to keep it straight, or it's a din in the mesora, the way just the halacha moshe b'sinai it requires sirtut.
But either way, it wouldn't help us if the bar mitzvah question.
Correct. Well, right, for that's as a side point. Right now from the Ran, it sounds like you don't require...
the Tashbait wouldn't require it.
Well, we don't know
to
the sirtut. Well, of the sirtut, but he might agree when it comes to the letters, the appearance of the letters, he might think that there is hider mitzvah for the letters. He's just saying sirtut is not an inyan of hider.
Well, he didn't discuss it.
Exactly. We don't know what he says. Yeah. We don't know what he says about that. But we do know the Ran holds that there is no hider mitzvah at all when it comes to tefillin because no one sees them. So we're going to see now.
He's saying it may not be the siyataka, maybe the letters. Because there is such a stringency on the letters.
Correct.
That you'd assume this is stringency on how they sit next to each other.
Correct.
As well.
Exactly. So, but right now from the Ron, we don't, the Tash Bates doesn't address Hiddur Mitzvah by tefillin in general, and the Ron thinks it's unnecessary by the ksav at least of the tefillin. So now let's look at Rabbeinu Tam and Tosos Gittin, where he actually says there are two dinim here. He says they're both true. There's an element of the halach Moshe Sinai of Sirtur, and there's also the element of a ksav being straight and very pretty looking. So look what Rabbeinu Tam writes in number 5. This is a very important Rabbeinu Tam. The focus of this Tosos is about Sirtur, but it happens to be a very fascinating conversation here about when a person does something that he's putter from. We'll see what I mean in a second. Rabbeinu Tam writes in number 5. The tefillin lo ba'i sirtut kol al kol shita v'shita. Rabbeinu Tam says you don't require sirtut in every single line. Aval ose sirtut achat lemala. V'kosev tachtav kama shitin. You just need to do one straight line on top and the rest could be empty, just right below that. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, de'ein l'sartet tefillin al kol shita v'shita. Let's say you want it to be machmir and write a line, draw a sirtut under every single line. Would you be able to? So this is the interesting line. This is a side point, but it's a fascinating Yushalmi Tosos quotes. You shouldn't do it, because the Yushalmi in Bamei Malikin says, "Kol pater midavar ve'oseyu nikra hedyot." A person's pater and does the mitzvah anyways, he's called a hedyot. Anyone know where in halacha this application comes up in Shulchan Aruch? Person's pater from something, but he does it, he's called a hedyot. Now, hedyot can be understood as either someone who's foolish, or hedyot could also be, there's a kohen gadol, and there's a kohen hedyot. Kohen hedyot is just a regular guy, an average guy. So, the way it's understood by the Rabbeinu Tamir that you're a fool for doing that. I mean, the halacha is your pater, you don't be machmir on yourself. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say it rains. If it's raining and it's sukkahs, it's raining in the sukkah, and you sit in the sukkah while it's raining, the Rama invokes this Yushalmi, kol pater midavar ve'oseyu nikra hedyot. You're called a fool. Who sits in a sukkah when you're raining? What type of chumr is that? There's no mitzvah of a sukkah when you're sitting in the rain. It's pointless. It's like eating matzah on a random night of the year. It's meaningless. There's no point in doing so. So a person who's trying to be machmir and create his own mitzvahs, he's called a hedyot. So the Rabbeinu Tam says what? Don't tell Chabad. Why, they eat matzah during the week?
No, they don't even drink water outside the sukkah even though it's raining.
Oh, okay, right. So I'm saying, so what the Hasidim say on that line, they say they rather, they don't mind being called a hedyot. In other words, they'll take that. They'll take that idea of being a hedyot, and they're willing to take that. Hedyot's not so bad. Fine. So,
by the way, not having sirtuk in the tefillin, in a way, is forcing you to have Mamisha Bucky, who's writing them, who could write them well without the lines. So maybe it's pushing you to be more
interesting
and get a real sofer.
Interesting. Or the sofer just doesn't have the makbid on it. That's how we're understanding it.
I know, but there's another way. Is that you don't want an average head. You don't want an average guy doing this. You want a bucky.
Could be. So either way.
Doesn't need the lines.
Right. I hear that. It's interesting perspective. But Rabbeinu Tam in the end says all you really need is the top line and you shouldn't be more machmir on the lines below that. But then he does concede and say, "Mihu im ein hasofer yachol lichtov yafe below sirtut." If the sofer can't write properly without it being there being lines, it's very hard. Could you imagine writing on a plain piece of paper, writing notes? I don't think anyone. Sofer's obviously more trained than we are, but your notes are going to be like off to the side, up to the right, or up to the left. It's not going to be straight looking. So a good sofer, as you said, will keep it straight. But if a sofer is not capable, so then tzarech lesartet al kol shita v'shita mishum zekeli vanvehu. So we see a couple of things here. Firstly, the need for the first line. Rabbeinu Tam says a tefillin needs a top line. Why? Because that's halach Moshe Mishinai. Now, the point of keeping the line straight afterwards, you could also invoke sirtut if you need to keep the line straight. If you can't do it on your own, then sirtut also serves to help keep the line straight. Meaning there are two dinim. One is just a gezerah, a halach Moshe Mishinai. Tefillin needs a line on top. And then if you need to use it to keep straight lines, you're allowed to use it later on to keep it zekeli vanvehu. So those are the two dinim that are found in Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the other point is that Rabbeinu Tam does say that there is an inyan of zekeli vanvehu. There is an inyan of hiddur mitzvah even on the ksav of the tefillin, even though we're not going to see it. So that's another machlokas, which is in our focus now. But at least Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran argue, does tefillin require hiddur mitzvah? So although the Ran said before, you don't need hiddur mitzvah, you don't need sirtud, because no one sees the tefillin anyways, Rabbeinu Tam here in Tosas Gittin says you do require hiddur mitzvah, even on the ksav, even though it's not seen.
According to the Ran, it's like a derabanan just as a siag to help you make sure you fulfill the mitzvah of zakevi.
That's what it sounds like, exactly. Exactly. And Rabbeinu Tam sounds more like, he could also be saying it's a gzera, but it sounds more like to me he's saying it's a part of the halacha Moshe Sinai, that you require, the Masara was, the tefillin doesn't require every line, it was just top line. You could debate that, Rabbeinu Tam, where he holds that first line as.
Does anybody talk about just using a piece of paper to make sure you stay straight, because you have to stay straight?
I haven't seen that, but we'll see in just a moment. There are a couple of other suggestions of how to accomplish sirtut. So I haven't seen the line, but we'll see. Let's go now to number 7. We're going to discuss, could you fold over the lines to create those same lines you need, the sirtut. So the way, I've never seen a sofer do it. I really am not sure how they do it. I'm guessing they have some type of instrument that they kind of scratch over it to keep
that's
the straight lines.
That's also dangerous, to that's, cut the parchment without cutting the parchment.
No, it must be something that... what's the term I'm looking for? It can't be a sharp metal, probably something that's... It must be a blunt tip, where it's not going to rip it, but it's going to put enough pressure in to scratch it. But I really don't know. I've never seen it before. I can't comment. But imagine they use some instrument to draw these lines. So now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in number 7, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Hilcha Sefer Torah, that Sefer Torah tzarech sirtut. The halacha is that when it comes to Sefer Torah, you require sirtut. And on this halacha, the Pishchei Tshuva comments and says, quotes from the Tshuvas HaRadbaz, say, Masha Nagu HaSofrim Lichfol HaNiyar Shekosun Alav HaGet. Now apparently Sofrim would fold over to create these lines, B'makum sirtut. Instead of having to scratch them in and etch it into the cloth, they'd fold them over and make those same lines. Dim HaNiyar Kasha, if the paper is very hard, Sheyehu HaKfeilim Omdim V'nikarim Ad Sof K'siva Saget Sagi B'hachi. That if it's a hard enough paper where those folds are going, the creases are going to remain in there forever, so it's good. Demali sirtut bekane obechadavar haomei v'nikar. Who cares whether I'm using a kane, some type of instrument, or whether I'm folding them over? As long as in the end of the day I see the sirtut, who cares how I accomplished it? So the Pesach Shuvah says why? Because what's the reason for the sirtut? Hatam is kidei sheyehei k'siva yishara. The whole goal of sirtut is to ensure that I have straight lines.
To see the sirtut.
Yeah, who cares about the sirtut?
Whether
the sirtut makes it
afterwards.
Exactly.
Not.
So if I could make lines, and we'll see in just a moment, could I use a pen? Can I draw lines with a pen? Could I, is that allowed? Whatever it is,
afterwards.
Somehow to circumvent the sirtut, but this is folding it over to create the sirtut, even though I'm not doing it the way that the Masorah had been taught to me, I'm still creating the sirtut. And the Pishchei Tshuva paskins that as long as it's straight, it's actually going to be kosher.
But the Shulchan Aruch says you can't do it with Ofaris.
Ofaris, I'm not sure exactly. That's...
Kol Dovar Shetzoveh. Anything that... You can't use a pen.
Right, so we're going to see...
Anything that makes a mark.
Correct.
It only has to be the fold or something that does not...
Correct. So we're going to see the Beis Yosef quotes the Machlokas. Even though Shulchan Aruch paskins you can't, he does quote an opinion that maybe you can. So we'll get back to the pen in just a moment. But right now, for the folds, he says, you're a Pischa Tshuva, at least paskins, you're allowed to fold them in because you've accomplished your goal, as long as you could have straight lines. Now, I once had Halacha L'maisa when I bought my, not this house, when I bought my other house, the first house I lived in. So I had taken my mezuzahs from my apartment in Queens. We had an extra one. And before I hung them up, I wanted to just make sure. I didn't know much about Safras. I still don't know much about Safras. But I'm sure that I wanted to look over and read the mezuzah to see if there are any mistakes that I could catch before giving it to the sofer. So when I opened up the mezuzah, I immediately noticed that there was no sirtut in the mezuzah. It was completely flat. If you look carefully, maybe you could see some fadings of the sirtut, but it wasn't so clear that it was there. So I wasn't sure. So I brought it inside to, I brought it to YU, to Rav Shechta to look at. So he said to me, it's better not to use it. And he pointed to, I think it was Rabbi Kiva Eger, I didn't bring here, but I think Rabbi Kiva Eger says that if the whole point of Sirta, the lines look very straight, it was very good ksav, it was very straight. So if the whole point of Sirta was to make sure the lines were straight, well, it was accomplished. And even though later on it got faded, who cares if it got faded? As long as they were there initially when it was written, then it was considered a good mezuzah. But if you hold that Sirtit is a lacha moshme Sinai, it has nothing to do with the ksav being straight or not, so then you would have to even have the Sirtit there
as part of it,
even after, part of the guf for the mezuzah. And it no longer has it, so it's no longer considered a kashim mezuzah. So I think that was a suffik in Rebbe Kiva Eger, and I think the psak was to be machmir and not to use such a mezuzah. Now the other thing I learned there also, when I gave Rav Shechter the mezuzah to look at, this dates back maybe 8, 9 years ago. So it was very awkward, because I was like, he's giving it to him, and he was just like looking at it like that. He wasn't like holding it. And I was like, well, my thing, why won't he just take it in his hand and just hold it instead of me holding it to him like that? So only afterwards did I learn that there's a halacha
not to touch
even, I always thought the Sefer Torah, you're not supposed to touch it. But what about other things as well? So the halacha is brought down in the Ramah. It's very halacha l'maisim when it comes to Megillas Esther. That well, there's certain things, we're going to discuss this next week even a little bit, that kisve kodesh, you can't touch with your hands. It's matami yadayim. So you're supposed to wash your hands before touching any cloth, whether it be mezuzah, whether it be a tefillin, whether it be a mezuzah. So I touched that mezuzah, so now I learned after that to wash your hands before him. When it comes to Megillas Esther, there are two days in the Ramah, I believe, whether you should wash your hands, but the Ramah suggests you should wash your hands anyways before using your Megillas Esther on Purim. Okay, when you did the tefillin, you bought it yet for your son? The tefillin yet?
Yeah, we picked it out. We're picking it up at the end of the month, end of December.
So you could ask. It's when I had to get new parshos for my tefillin, so.
Yeah, we'll ask Rabbi Lieberman about the about this.
Yeah, ask him. Let me know what he says. I'm curious. But also ask him.
So the sirtut, how do they make it straight if they don't have sirtut? I didn't realize it didn't have sirtut. I didn't register, but.
Yeah, so I'm curious to know what he says. Ask him. Let me know if you don't mind. But the other thing you could do, when I had bought these new parchments for my tefillin. So he let me put the tefillin in the box. It was pretty cool. He opened up for me and showed me how it looked inside, and he said I could put it in. I made sure it was... He checked to make sure the right parshas were going in the right place. He read it and told me where to put each of them in. I don't remember if this was for my Rabbeinu Tam maybe or for my regular ones. I don't know. But either way, it's just cool to see what it looks like inside. And when you touch it, you wash your hands before. And any time you touch a cloth, you should really wash your hands. Fine. So let's look at the next nafkamina. You look now at number 9, the Beis Yosef, their quotes. He says from the Mordechai in the Or Zeruah, and then he quotes a safek for Rabbeinu Simcha, if the sirta, this is my question, if you need the sirta sheyehe nikar v'kayim li'olam, does that sirta have to be everlasting or not? Or is it sagi, is it enough for it to be there present for the sofer to write it, but if it wears off, it fades off over time, then it's still kosher. Then he asks a question at the end, are you allowed to use ink? Could you use ink as the sirtut or not? Or a pencil or something, are you allowed to? And what the Beis Yosef concludes, as he says in the Shulchan Aruch, that he thinks you shouldn't use ink. Now, if the idea is to keep it straight, so I could use anything I want. I could use ink, I could use a pencil. But if the idea is that Talacha Moshe Mesinai, so there is no Mesorah, that you're supposed to be using ink, the halacha Moshe Sinai is that you're supposed to use some type of barzel, some type of instrument that's going to etch it inside.
How could it possibly allow lines of ink when the ink then gets connected to the letter?
No, it won't be connected. It won't be. I imagine it's going to be, there'll be a separation. You'll have a thin line of ink, but you're not going to draw it on top of it. Or maybe...
Yeah, but there's like a big problem, you might. And
right.
Then it's finished.
Lamed, yeah.
I was just going to say, then your letters get messed up.
Yeah, I hear.
So machmir on how to make a letter, if you ever look at those books, right?
Sure, sure. I hear. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe using a pencil then. Maybe
a pencil is a different discussion that you could erase.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So maybe just a pencil. But he also says here, bidyo, he does mention ink or other tseva.
What's a habmin?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And unless you have the lot of the wide spaces in the lines, so you have the ink and even the lamids and the going up and then the chafs going down. Sorry? Right, and those as well. So maybe if you have like long, big space in between, so and you write the words, the lines doesn't help much though. If the lines are not going right below the letter.
Right.
Yeah.
That is not going to help.
So I'm not sure the Havamina is. It seems it gets complicated, and that's perhaps why the Shulchan Aruch Paskin that one shouldn't make any drawn lines in the klaf. Okay, then the Pesach Teshuvah has another nafkmina. Again, this is the Iker Shaila, as you see. The Iker Shaila of Sirtin is whether it's to make it a nice ksav or a talach moshmi Sinai. So Pesach Teshuvah again says number 10. Let's say an Osi Yudalit here. Kasav b'sefer b'nei Yonah, the im kasav eza taos. Let's say there's a certain mistake. The garasham eza tevos. You scratch it out. Now, the halacha is when it comes to Sefer Torah, if there's a mistake, you're allowed to fix it even though it's out of order. When it comes to tefillin and mezuzah, if there's a mistake, you can't write it out of order. You have to write the whole thing all over again. So, but let's say Sefer Torah, there's a certain letter that's a mistake. You could scratch out that letter and rewrite it. So now, let's say while you're scratching out the letter, nimchak ha-sirtet, you fade away the sirtet. Somehow the scratching ruins the klaf in that area, and the sirtet doesn't exist. Velo sirtet mechadesh, and you don't make a new sirtet there, and kasav alav, and then you write the letter, you replace the letter, let's say the shin, is that considered good? Because there was no sirtet present when you wrote that letter back in. So where the Pesach Teshuvah says that there is room, you could permit it, because since the adjacent letters of that word keeps it straight, or keep it in line, you've accomplished the need of keeping it straight. Because again, the Pesach Teshuvah says the whole purpose of sirtet is just to make sure the lines are straight.
But it's not the purpose of having a sirtet.
Exactly.
Thing. It's just that the letters are straight.
Exactly. Now, if you assume, like we've seen in the Tashbates, that you need sirtet halacha moshmi Sinai, so then you would have to put the sirtet even before you wrote it. Okay, now the Tosos in Sota has a very interesting discussion there. He's talking about Sota, of course, and he says that he's not sure, he has the suffix, if let's say you write the Sirtut after the Ksiva, is that going to be a good Ksiva or not? You write all the letters.
And then you find out, uh-oh, I was supposed to have Sirtut.
Then you put in the Sirtut afterwards, is that going to be effective or not? Is that going to work? So if it comes out nice,
who would know?
So
if it comes out nice, so then seemingly it should be good if that's the whole goal. If the point is that it has to have the goof of a klaf, so then also you still might need. Meaning, if it comes out good without sirtut, if it comes out straight, so then it's possible you don't even need to put the sirtut in afterwards. If the whole goal is for zek keli van veyu, and you're such a good sofer, you're such a yeki when it comes to safras, so then you wouldn't need to put the sirtut even afterwards if you've accomplished a very pretty ksav. But if you assume that sirtut, again, is halacha moshmi Sinai, it's part of the goof of the mezuzah, so then even after the fact, you would still have to put the sirtut in. So there's one final discussion here. The final discussion is the Pesach Teshuvah. He has the following machlokas here. When you do the sirtut, does the sirtut have to be lishma or not lishma? We're going to discuss next week. Next week's topic, we're going to deal with a little bit Ibur Lishma. Ibur Lishma is when you're processing the klaf for Megillah. So when it comes to tefillin, whenever you process klaf, so the part of that process, I'm straightening out and removing the skin and pressing it, that Ibur has to be Lishma, has to be L'shem Sefer Torah, L'shem tefillin, L'shem mezuzah. So we're going to see next week there's a machlokas whether Megillah, the ksav of Megillah, has an inyan of lishma or not. When you're ibur lishma, is that necessary for Megillah? That's a big machlokas we're going to see next week. There are two dinim in what the nature of the ksav of Megillah is. So now, when it comes to writing the sirtut, making the sirtut, there's a two deyas in the Pesach Teshuvah, whether the sirtut requires lishma or doesn't require lishma. And of course, the question hinges upon what we've been discussing. If you assume that sirtut is there only to make the line straight, nothing fundamental to the tefillin, so the mezuzah rather, so then there is no need to make it lishma. You could have, if it is a a katan who's not does not have the ability of lishma, but he's very artistic and very straight and particular. So in theory, he could make those lines. Or if you, as a sofer, are making it without having any lishma, it's probably hard to have that in mind, not to do lishma. But if you, who cares about lishma if it's all about keeping them straight? But if you assume that the whole idea of sirtut is fundamental, it's a halach moshme Sinai, that sirtut is part of the mezuzah itself. It's the goof of the klaf. So then you would have to have ibud, rather the sirtut has to be done lishma. And he quotes from the Sefer Bnei Yonah that one should be machmir and the sirtut should be done lishma. So again, none of us have ever done it, but I imagine the sofrim probably say something along the line when they're doing sirtut, probably doing the shame mitzvahs tefillah mezuzah or something, the shame mitzvahs sefer Torah when they're accomplishing it. That's my guess. What they're doing. So you see here, either way, there's a big machlokas about the nature of sirtut. Yeah.
When we were there, he told us, was it even with the painting of the ink on the strap?
Yeah.
He says, if you don't say it, you're in trouble.
Okay, really? Is that much? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. Okay.
Yeah.
So every aspect of it.
That was open. So.
Open. Yeah. Sure. So there is a concept when it comes to let's say making titus. Titus also has to be lishma, and. So I believe that there's a, if a katan wants to make titus, so we assume a katan that cannot have lishma. He's not old enough to understand what lishma means, but if a gadol is omer agabav, if there's a gadol there, and the gadol is saying do this l'shem mitzvah titus, and he's tying it in that way, so then he's good. And it's considered lishma is infused in that mitzvah. But I believe we know that you don't say, you can't say l'shem mitzvah titus the whole time. You need to breathe. You need to take a break. So as long as you said it in the beginning, when you started the process, that lishma, it continues to go the entire time. But I guess once there's a hefsek and you have to fill in some ink, so then I guess he's saying there as well, you have to say lishma.
I'm saying before you, if you have a scratch of the thing and you're fixing the, you're doing that ink stuff,
right.
He says you have to say it.
Right, I'm not sure if you have to. It's probably ideal to, but everyone who's doing it is certainly doing it lishma. That's certainly understood. So I'm curious question. I don't know if you have to, though. It's probably ideal, though. Person's baking matzah, and he doesn't say l'shem mitzvahs matzah. Does he not get the matzah's not good? No, of course they're good. But you want to be reminded just to kind of be focused and add and infuse the l'shma, and there's certainly an added element with that, but I don't think it'll be possible without saying that.
And he said something, you know, also, I guess he was also talking about, no, he would have been bar mitzvahed already. I don't know. But he was pretty serious about that one.
Okay, he's very serious. I go to him also. He's very serious. But either way, we see that there's a machlokas about the nature of sirtut, and we also saw as a parenthetical point about whether or not the ksava tefillin requires a hider mitzvah. That was a machlokas we saw again, which was interesting. The Ran said, since no one sees the tefillin, you don't have to have hider mitzvah by the ksav, while the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Argon says, you do require hider mitzvah even though the tefillin is not going to be seen. So let's stop here. Next week, Emir Tashem, we will